This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Selection Sunday was yesterday. Big party going on at RMU. Saw the video on the Twitter account at 93.7TheFan. They're taking on the Alabama Crimson Tide, are the Colonials, led by Andy Toole, and their athletic director joins us right now, Chris King. Chris, we'll get into the draw, we'll get into the matchup, we'll get into all that over the course of this conversation, but you guys win the Horizon League regular season. That means there's a ton of pressure to win the conference tournament. You guys win the conference tournament. How did you feel that night, Chris? And thank you for coming on.
I know, I appreciate that, and thanks for having me on tonight. You know, I mean, I think it's just kind of a pretty exciting time for our university, our basketball program. I mean, you know, the energy on campus is electric, you know, from being the regular season champions, and then also, of course, winning the postseason here last week up in Indianapolis. And so really couldn't be any more thrilled to be participating in the NCAA tournament, the March Madness, the excitement that brings. And really that's a testament to the hard work and dedication of our athletes, our coaches, and our support staff. So, you know, it's just a tremendous time to be a Colonial.
Chris, Andy Toole's been with the program roughly around 18 years. I mean, as an assistant, he started in 2007. He's been with RMU for a long time. Can you tell us what makes him such a good coach and what his best attribute is as a head coach of RMU basketball?
He's competitive, extremely competitive in everything he does. He's always thinking, you know, one game at a time. He's very, very driven. From the time the summer workouts start with incoming players to the entire, you know, once we get leading up to the fall practices, non-conference season, you know, we started out a little bit slow, but I mean, he's got a strategic vision and leadership style that's like no other. He's done a tremendous job with these young men. And I mean, anytime you can win 16 of 17 games in the last 10 games, 10 game winning streak to end the year going into March Madness, tells you a little bit about the way he goes about actually leading the program from, you know, like I said, from the summer until the championship.
You guys, like a lot of teams, wound up getting screwed with COVID. I mean, that was a team that was earmarked for the NCAA tournament. And you guys made the transition from the NEC to the Horizon League. Did you figure it would take some time to get back to where you were in the NEC once you transitioned into the Horizon League? Because I look at it, man, like, what's it been now, 5 years? That might feel like a long time for you in the middle of it and for Andy in the middle of it. But, I mean, that's a pretty quick turnaround from winning four games your first year in the league to then winning 26 this year and making the tournament.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, it was very unfortunate. You know, when we made the jump to the Horizon League, which was, you know, a tremendous opportunity for our team to elevate all of our athletics programs, but specifically for men's basketball excellence. And, you know, when you make that transition, and, you know, we didn't know if the COVID was going to be 2 weeks or 2 months, and it ended up being, what, 2+ years, you know, and still, you know, still currently around. So, you know, again, we had to exude some patience going through that time period. And, you know, switching from the NEC to the Horizon League, that's a huge jump, right? And so, We had to invest into, you know, our recruiting. We had to invest into our coaching staff. We had to invest into the scheduling portion of how we schedule our men's basketball games, and of course the student athlete resources, and you know, as of recent, you know, NIL and name, image, and likeness. And so, I had told everybody it's going to take 4 or 5 years. I mean, whether we were in the pandemic or not, and you know, unfortunately for Andy, you know, we had to switch right from the NEC to the Horizon League during a pandemic. You know, so he's recruiting, you know, via video call for 2 years, which is a pretty extreme disadvantage. And I know everybody had to do that. But, we just opened up this brand new UPMC Event Center, which is just, you know, a remarkable facility. And so, some people have said, you know, why do we ever make that move? And I said, just be patient. And then, you know, this year we've already won 2 championships in the fall. And then, of course, now with men's basketball. And so, I never doubted it. And I also never doubted our coaching staff, in particular with Coach Toole. And so I'm excited about where we're at now. And, now we're the darlings of the Horizon League and excited to represent them.
Chris, let's talk about NIL and transfer portal for a little bit. I mean, it is a reality that, and it's kind of unfortunate that, you know, the more you win as an RMU program, and especially in basketball, the more that these big time schools are going to want to come in and try to poach some of your players. Like, how are you going to deal with that? Or are you just singularly focused on the moment right now and dealing with that after the season, whenever the season is done?
Well, I mean, Coach Toole, I mean, he's the one, you know, he handles that with his team. And, of course, we as an athletic program, we're committed to building, you know, sustainable and successful basketball program that consistently competes, at a high level. And so that's kind of my responsibility to help, you know, Coach Toole to provide him the resources in the NIL. This is a unique group. They're playing very, very strong as a team, collectively together. I mean, we've had 5 different leading scorers. We had the player of the year. We had the defensive player of the year. 3 all-league, players. Of course, Coach Toole was also the coach of the year. And so, we're hoping that they stay together. You know, we want to sustain this, you know, for not just 1 year. You know, we don't want this to be an aberration. And so those are things that, you know, Coach Toole and his coaching staff have talked to his players about. We'll take a look at it at the end of the season. But, again, you know, we have an experienced veteran leader. You know, if we lose players, and it's going to happen, it happens all over the country. You got entire teams where their entire team is jumping in the transfer portal right now. And so those are things you have to evolve and adapt. You got to overcome and deal with some of that adversity. And I got all the faith in the world in Coach Toole, and, you know, being able to go out and get that next group of talented athletes should, you know, some of our key players move on.
Chris King, Robert Morris Athletic Director, joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. So we now know you guys have Alabama. You're a 15. They're a 2. I sort of thought you guys would be on the 14 line. I think you should have been on the 14 line. But you knew you're going to be playing a big team, a brand name team, no matter what. What was your reaction, Andy's reaction, when you saw that it was going to be Alabama?
Well, I was standing slightly behind him. I worked at Alabama from 2002 to 2009 for 7.5 years.
Right.
So when I saw Montana pop up at the 14, I was, you know, grinding my teeth a little bit because, you know, I really felt like you that we should have been a 14. But when I saw the number 2 pop up Alabama, my first thought was, oh, boy, here we go. I'm going to be playing my former school, you know. And, Andy kind of turned around and gave me a little bit of a look. And then, of course, you know, it was announced Robert Morris. The team went crazy. Everyone was, you know, excited. And, it's an exciting time. It doesn't matter if you play Alabama, you play Tennessee, you play Michigan, you play Iowa State, you play Wisconsin. They're all good, you know. They're all big. They're Power 4 schools. And, you know, I'm confident, very confident in this team to put on the floor, to get out there and to compete with the Crimson Tide. Very, very confident in this team. And I'll say this. There's not one game in the second half of the season I didn't think we were going to win. I've never, ever felt that way about a basketball team that I've been around in 28 years, 16 years as an AD. And even in the semifinals, we were down by 13 to Oakland in the second half. You know, I said to our donors I was sitting courtside with, I know we're going to pull this out. This group is very special, and this is the kind of group that can go up to Cleveland and take on the Crimson Tide.
Yeah, I think you guys are going to hang in there, and you're going to battle your butts off like you have all season long. And I'll just say it again for effect. I think you should have been a 14. I also think you should have been the chair of the committee, Chris. But that's because I'm a West Virginia guy.
Bubba Cunningham at North Carolina, with them squeaking in at West Virginia, squeaking out, I wouldn't in a million years want to be the chair this year with West Virginia right down the road. No chance, no chance whatsoever.
Well, Chris, we really appreciate you coming on. What you guys have given the basketball community here, and with that facility you have out there, it's a great place to watch a game. We're all really excited to see how you guys fare. And regardless, we know that it was an unbelievable season. So thank you for jumping on. Congratulations. And, hey, hopefully we'll get to be talking after an upset here, huh?
Absolutely. And I appreciate all the support that you give for the men's basketball program and Coach Toole. And I know he's extremely supportive of it as well.
You guys rock. Thank you, Chris. Take care, Chris.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
I love those guys over at RMU.
Yeah.
It's a great concert venue, too.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a concert there at the end of COVID, and everyone had to be like spread out doing that whole thing. But it was so much fun. It's a beautiful venue. And that first game of the Horizon League tournament, that place was absolutely jumping. And look, Duquesne last year, they shocked the BYUs.
Yep.
So, hey, it's possible. I think it's a tough draw, and I do think they got screwed. He wouldn't say it. He's a nice man, but I think they got screwed.
Yeah, they did. They did.
They're 14.
Yeah. But we'll see. Hey, at least it gives us something to cheer for.
Yes!
They've done a great job, and it's a great story, and it would be unbelievable if they pulled it off. Unbelievable. Be pretty cool.
Look, and here's the thing. Like, on paper, come on. It's not going to happen. But that's the way it's looked at. Any 15 against the two. Any 14
before,
against
that's
the three.
All I know.
Exactly right. Exactly. It's not like they're a 16. That's what happened before. I think they did a play-in game, and then they had Duke as a 16 seed. Like, okay, good luck with that. But here's the thing with it. Now I'm going to talk it into existence, baby. We need something to latch onto this March. Alabama does live by the three. Means you can die by the three.
Yep.
Go out there and miss a lot of threes. That is what happened to BYU last year against Duquesne. They shot the lights out of the damn basketball all season long, and then against Duquesne, they couldn't hit one. So there you go. There's ball. One last thing here. Seth Davis, John Rothstein, Fran Fraschilla, Jay Williams, Joe Lenardi, Jerry Palm, 111 bracket experts, Dan Dockich, Mad Dog Russo, and others all think that West Virginia got screwed. So if I read one more damn person on the text line call me a homer, well, there's really nothing I can do about it.
No.
But, am I a homer? Yes.
But you're somewhat right.
I am far from the only person who thinks my school got robbed. And I wish Chris King was the commissioner. I wish he was the chair of the committee. I think he would have done the right thing. All right, coming up next, Najee Harris. Oh, there's more, Doran. There's more. He threw shade at the Steelers for their facilities. What else did he throw shade at the Steelers for? We'll tell you next. We'll react. Does he have a point, or is it just sour grapes? We'll tell you.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Been saying it all morning. I'm in a terrible mood. Somebody's going to get it. And is that somebody right now going to be Najee Harris? Najee crushed the Steelers without saying Steelers when he talked about Pittsburgh's facility, their training facility, their weight room compared to that of the Steelers. And I think he nailed everything. And I'm happy that he did it. Because if the NFL player survey ain't going to get it done, maybe guys coming out and talking publicly about it is going to get it done. You're not going to have players on the team get behind a microphone and crush their organization. Doesn't really happen. But when a player leaves, it does it. I think it's noteworthy. So I agreed with him on that. What I won't agree with him on is the other shade he threw at the Steelers. And that's, he said he wasn't used the right way. And again, he didn't mention Pittsburgh, but we know, Najee, you had one stop. He said he can catch the ball out of the backfield better than the Steelers ever allowed him to do. And maybe, but I just don't see a dynamic playmaker there in Najee Harris. I see a bowling ball. I see a guy who is going to get what's blocked for him. I see a guy who's durable, who doesn't fumble the football. There's a lot of positives with Najee. 4 straight 1,000-yard season doesn't mean for me quite what it used to, but I'll never question that guy's toughness. I think availability is a massive check in the pros compartment for a running back. but I don't think this guy's in the same stratosphere with the Le'Veon Bells of the world. And I think when you put the ball in his hands out in space, you're not utilizing your best weapons. I would much rather Jalen Warren be catching the football.
I think Najee's right. They didn't utilize him. I've been calling for years that Najee Harris needs to be one-on-one with linebackers. I mean, 6'3", 230-some pounds, and can move and can run routes and can catch. Yeah, like, I mean, that
can does, he, though?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, whenever he's in there, he can. Yeah, they just didn't give him the opportunities to do that because they're so archaic in how they view players, I think. I think that they're like, Najee, you're a running back. We don't need you to be a receiver. We have receivers to do that. I think that Najee Harris is right. They didn't use him to his, I think, his full arsenal of weapons. And that is very frustrating probably at times because if you think about it, the reason why Le'Veon Bell was so good is because you didn't know what defense to put in there if they were to motion him out, if they were to motion him on a linebacker, or they just kept him in and he was running. If you would have used Najee like that or even attempted to use Najee like that, it could affect the way the defense plays the run. I don't think that they used him to his full capacity. I'm not saying that he's going to be like, you know, Saquon Barkley, McCaffrey, Le'Veon Bell, not even close probably, but you are kind of hampering your offense by not exposing the defense by using a guy that could probably be successful at doing that. They never really did it.
36 catches, 283 yards. The Steelers haven't had a good offensive coordinator in a while. And Arthur Smith, clearly the best of the bunch that I'm about to mention here. Randy Feuchner, Matt Canada, Mike Sullivan last year, Eddie Faulkner, and now Arthur Smith. None of them wanted them to throw the football to Najee Harris. Like, I'm not going to stick up for those guys because I don't think most of them are good at their jobs. The only one who I think is up in the air is Arthur Smith, and he got hired to be a head coach because he was a good offensive coordinator. But when all these guys say, now we got better options in the passing game, I don't know. I think I'm inclined to agree with them. They would have 36 catches last year.
Those guys were terrible.
They were terrible, yeah, but you've got all these people who call plays for a living saying, we'd rather have the ball not in Najee Harris's hands.
Okay, how many catches did he have last year? 36?
36.
And how many did he have the last... Three years before that.
I have to go back and look.
With Canada and with the other guys, with Feuchner.
I'll have to go back and look. His first year, he caught the ball more. His first year, he did. And he had Bennett quarterback.
Right.
But I look at Jalen Warren. Jalen Warren had 38 catches last year for a higher average than Najee Harris did. Like, I would rather the ball be in Jalen Warren's hands in space than Najee Harris's. It's not like they have a ton of options. Like, I get that. But... like I'm not here for the Najee Harris revisionist history. Everything is somebody else's fault, not his. Like I don't remember him being this tremendous acrobatic catcher of the football from Alabama, but he always said that he was. He caught one one-handed. His first ever media availability, he caught one one-handed, and I think it was Dale Lolley who asked him, like, man, like, that what we can expect from you all the time? And he took offense to it. He was like, I make catches like this all the time. We didn't see it. When do we see it?
Never was put in position. Remember the pass that Kenny threw to him?
No. I tried to block that out of my mind. The one, I think, was Kenny, now that it's over, was Kenny really trying to throw him the ball?
There was two people in that area, wasn't there?
Yeah, there
was two people in that area.
maybe I'm just.
It makes it even more of a point that he's a better catcher because even if the ball's coming over,
no, he's a bad teammate. He took a reception from his teammate. This might well just be me being jaded, pissed off Crowley today, and all of my ire should be focused at what's his name, Bubba Cunningham, and I'm just taking it out on Najee Harris. But like, I'm a much better player. All right, let's see it. Let's
he probably
see
will
it.
This year. With, I don't know, man. Jim Harbaugh.
They're going to hand him the football.
They're going to hand it to him, and they're gonna throw it to him, too.
Maybe. Throw it to Stone Hands out there.
Stone Hands.
I think Najee Harris is going to – I'm willing to be wrong about this. I think Najee Harris is going to have another Najee Harris season. I think he's going to have 1,000 yards, and he's going to average like 3.9 through 4.1 yards a carry, and people are going to go, wow, that's a good player, not to be confused with great. And are they ever going to add a wide receiver? Like, that ain't going to help Najee. Like, you go from one spot where you didn't have much help this year to a place where you don't have any help right now. Like, they got Mike Williams again.
Yep. They'll draft one.
They will.
Yeah.
I thought that they'd be interested in DK Metcalf, but apparently they balked at the asking price.
Really?
Yeah.
I think that's where he ultimately wanted to go.
Well, Doran.
The facility's there.
They got great facilities.
I know Seattle has great facilities. Probably the best I've ever seen.
Really?
Ever.
Is that the loudest stadium, too?
Yes.
Yeah.
That in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Seattle's facility was on like the bay. Like, and they had like garage doors in the like the indoor, and you could open up the garage door so you're like playing like outside, like around, and the water's like around you.
I like when they do that at bars.
Yeah, it's like that, but yeah, you're like on the water playing football, it practicing.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it was nice. It was awesome.
You know, you're on the water here in Pittsburgh too.
Right. Yeah. Right. In the train tracks.
What's that smell?
Train tracks, water.
Jesus.
Oh, God. Think about that. Kyle Juszczyk's like, hey, hell no. His wife was probably like, hell no. How am I gonna bring my fashion brand here? Train tracks. You can't even. Hey, we don't need noise at practice. We got the train. The train's gonna come by about 1:30. So it'll be loud. We don't need no music at practice if we're playing in a loud stadium. We got the train.
They don't even pipe in sound.
Yeah, we got
Thomas
the Gateway
the
Clipper
rolls by.
Gateway Clipper's drive, floating by, beeping his horn. What?
Hey, I know you're used to playing on the water. Here's the Mon. What's that smell? Oh, it's just Pittsburgh, buddy. Beachfront property. And if you have to take a dump during practice, guess which bathroom's closer? Oh, it's the pit facility. Anytime I had to go to the bathroom door, and you know me, standing there watching practice, I would go to the pit facility. It's right there.
Yeah.
If you go to the Steelers facility, you have to walk up like a flight of steps. It's a total disaster.
Oh, yeah.
I never told you about this because I don't know if it's that interesting a story, but I was interviewing, oh, man, it was Sammy Coates, and he was giving me this money interview. Like, he was talking about the failures of the offense and his broken fingers, and it was a really good interview. It was probably 10 minutes with Sammy Coates, and I couldn't use half of it because, shipping coal.
Unbelievable.
You know, there was a train that runs by Waynesburg's field, too, and it uses its horn because there's an intersection up ahead. Terrible. They called it the 12th man because it would just drown out everything.
I mean, if you could play in beautiful Los Angeles in those facilities with Justin Herbert, or come to Pittsburgh and not have those facilities, and at the time, Skylar Thompson's your quarterback.
It's tough.
I'm happy they paid him, because that's the money doing all the talking.
It's a tough sell.
412-928-9370. There was a Steeler who left. Something very funny happened to the organization that signed him. What is that? What can we laugh about? We'll do that coming up next. Text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Larry Ogunjobi leaves in free agency. He goes to the Buffalo Bills, and they also sign another player, both of whom got suspended 6 games for PEDs.
Who else?
I forget the other guy. I'll look him up. Should have had it prepared for this segment. Yeah, bad radio hosting by me.
I saw Larry Ogunjobi, yeah, suspended.
6 games, PEDs.
It's usually Adderall.
Really?
Yep.
Well, I mean, I was going to say, like, it begs the question, like, brother, if you're cheating, you ain't cheating good enough. I guess yeah. That's not a question, that's a statement, but you get what I'm saying.
Usually if a guy gets suspended for PEDs, it's usually Adderall.
You're not allowed to do Adderall?
No. Nope.
I am not condoning this for children out there. Throw that out there on the front end. Adderall, very helpful in college.
Yes.
Yeah.
And think about if you did it and you were a football player.
Very helpful. Right. Clearly, though, he wasn't doing enough.
Right.
Like, Larry Ogunjobi's one of those guys where if he were still on the roster going into next year, I think Steelers fans would have had a right to be miffed. Like, I liked the signing at the time. He failed the physical with Chicago. You got him for pennies on the dollar. He was really good, I thought, in Cincinnati at the tail end of his Bengals career. And really, dude, you think about invisible players over the years. Larry Ogunjobi, can we think of more than a player, too, that this guy made in his Steelers career? Which one was that? Jog my memory.
I know I don't remember one.
Oh, you don't remember one? Okay, I was going to say, I got none.
Got none. No significant play. Like, I remember him being in there a little bit, but not a significant, like, sack or anything.
No. And you can correct us if we're wrong at 412-928-9370, but that was a guy I had no problem losing. And, man, if they'd kept him around, like, I'm guessing, did they find that out, do you think, in the physical? Like, is that, how would that work? Like, Like, do you have to send off the urine to the NFL, or did he just get blind tested?
He got tested. They probably came to his house. I told you those stories where they would come to my house in the offseason, like random. Or like, if you don't answer the door, it's a failed test. They'll come to, if you're in Turks and Caicos, you have to put every place that you go or you're going to vacation in the offseason, because they will fly there and test you.
I got to say, I don't think that would be the worst job in the world, being an NFL urine collector. I mean, it's kind of degrading. Like, don't you have to stand there and watch the guy pee?
Yeah, naked.
Yeah.
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 Okay. I mean, the one guy was the same guy, and he would never, he wouldn't use gloves.
What?
Right. He was like that, I guess he was that good at, like, sealing it up. But I'm like, you ain't going to use gloves? Like, what if it just splashes?
You're going to get tight end urine on your hands.
Right.
The reason I say I don't think it would be a bad job isn't because I'd be standing there in front of nude NFL players. I just want to make that clear. I just, oh, well, what are you doing? Oh, I'm getting on an airplane, going to fly out to Turks and Caicos, going to collect some urine, and it's going to be on the company dime. It's not that bad.
Yeah, but it's a lot of travel, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you're traveling every day.
You know, James Harrison, they used to go after him all the time, and he would flip out because it's supposed to be random, but there were obviously guys that were being targeted.
Oh, yeah.
Steelers, meanwhile, now have signed two defensive linemen, one from Washington, one from the New England Patriots. You look at their metrics on Pro Football Focus, which isn't a be-all, end-all, but it's a guide. Neither one of them are great players, at least by those metrics. Both just depth guys. And the Steelers are very good at doing that. Like, they brought in Braden Fajoco a couple years ago, and he never really got a run. But you need to guard yourself against, you know, not being able to draft your positions of need in the draft. That is, to me, Doran, the clear direction they're going to go in the first round. And I know that Jerry Dulac reported this weekend that the Steelers are very interested in the running back position in the draft because it's so deep, but that he would not rule them out taking one in the first round. It's something you've said for a long time. When the Steelers paid DK Metcalf, I think a lot of people started to come around on your opinion that they might draft a guy in round one. I'll tell you, even if Amarian Hampton's there, even if Ashton Gentry's there, I'm going to be shocked if they get a running back in round one. And I think Steelers fans would have a right to be really worked up about it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I love those players. Like, if imagine Amarian Hampton. You hand the ball to that guy
right
when you got these two massive outside receivers taking the top off the defense. Like, I would understand their logic in it because I love the player and I love Gentry. But if you don't draft a defensive lineman now in round one, and you don't have a second round pick, and you gave up 299 rushing yards to the Baltimore Ravens in your playoff game, you have not done enough to address it. Like, it can't be a third round pick, and it's a great deep draft
it's
for defensive linemen.
There's like a lot of starters in that have third round projections.
Them not having a second round pick is a big game changer for me. Like, I still would never be on board with them taking a running back in the first round, but if you had a second-round pick and you doubled down on D linemen in the second and third round and you take a running back in round one, I guess I can squint and be okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
I have to wonder, too, man, like, you're going to have these comp picks next year, and that won't get awarded until after the season, but will they feel comfortable moving a pick from next year's draft to maybe pop up into this year's draft into that second round? I think that has to be on the table.
Because you have the comps that you could, yes. That's a good point. That's a good point.
It's a bad draft, man, to not have a second round pick because there's not a lot of high end talent, but there's a lot of depth at positions of need. Maybe they trade back out of their round one pick and can get two in the second round or a late first, like their 21st pick turns into like the 30th pick and then they get one late in the second round. That'd be great. I think all those things have to be on the table because they have not addressed this defensive line need.
I think it comes down to what you evaluate more. Like, do you evaluate having is it more important to have a first round running back or a first round D tackle or a third round running back or a third round D tackle?
In this draft, I could see it either way, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I keep coming around to, now that they got Metcalf, because I've been saying for a while, draft a wide receiver round one. Now that they got Metcalf, they don't take a defensive lineman round one, I think it's going to be hard to sell to the fan base that area that we said is a massive position of need that we did enough to address it. And the likes of Javon Hargrave are gone, Javon Kinlaw, all the Javons, they had a chance. They didn't get those guys. They didn't get Jonathan Allen. And that's a pretty penny, $20 million, but they can't spend the money because they're waiting on quarterback. They have to take one in round one. Ideally, trade back into round two, and you can address it via depth. But right now, if the draft holds and they don't wind up with more picks, If they take a running back in round one, I'm gonna be real mad. I'm gonna be like Bubba Cunningham mad. Have I brought that guy up too much?
I thought you were gonna call him.
Can I?
You're asking permission?
Well, it's your show.
I thought you were gonna call. You said regardless you were gonna call him, whether it was on the show or off the show.
I'll call him during this break.
No, you won't.
We'll report it back to the people when we come back.
There's no way you call him.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township. Mark Caboli traipsing on in here. He'll be with us from 9 o'clock until 10, the latest on the Steelers and their quarterback conundrum. What he makes of these two defensive linemen that they signed. Najee Harris's comments to the media in Los Angeles. That's all on the way. And you can follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. I've been doing a lot of complaining, obviously, about the selection committee today. I just called Bubba Cunningham, who was the chair of that committee. He's also the North Carolina athletic director, and it went to voicemail. And it said that the voicemail was full. I wonder why. I wonder what happened
there. That is correct.
I do feel for any of these guys, though, because you're going to get absolute hell no matter what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Like, someone's always going to feel like they get left out. Someone's always going to feel like, oh, man, how'd they get in? Like, that's just the nature of the thing. But I like to think that there's lots of West Virginia and Indiana folks that have blown up his answering machine there.
Probably.
Not a real problem, though. That is a first world problem. A real problem is hunger. We've got our Feed the Need broadcast coming up next Tuesday. We got a lot of cool stuff planned. We'll give you more details on that as the week goes on. We are Feeding the Need with the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank. That's March 25th. Giant Eagle Feed the Need Radiothon. We'll be raising money to provide meals for our neighbors in need. All you got to do, text NEED to 50155 on our Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union text line. Your donation will provide meals locally brought to you by Rome Monument, Hampton Beer Outlet, and Memorial Highway Chevrolet. All the details at 937thefan.com. I'll send out a link. All right, Doran, now you got Jerry Dulac saying it's a deep crop of running backs, one of the best in recent years. The Steelers are expected to take advantage of the pool of talent to add to what they already have with Jaylen Warren and free agent acquisition Kenneth Gainwell. That means nothing is guaranteed as to where the Steelers might draft a running back, and apparently that includes the first round. Nothing is off the table for the Steelers. Because it's so deep, shouldn't that mean then that the first round isn't that big of a need? Like, especially at that position, where guys seem to come in and play well from the get-go if they're good enough to play.
Well, I mean, that would be the case if the defensive line position wasn't as deep, too, in the draft. If there was a need at D-line and it wasn't as deep, yeah, okay, like it's like we can get a serviceable running back later, but the fact that the D-line position is deep, you can kind of go either way, right? Like, it's like, all right, if we take a first-round running back, we can get a starter in at the defensive line position in round three. So you kind of pick your poison, really. I would go running back at this point. I would.
Just load up on the offensive side with as many playmakers as possible.
Yep.
Look, I can't say that they won't do it. I mean, especially, and we brought this scenario up before, if Ashton Jeanty, who's a top 10 talent in this draft, is there at 21, and it is a position of need, it would not shock me at all if they took that guy.
Let me rewind. I would take a running back at 21 if the two running backs, one of the two running backs are still there that I think if it's anybody outside of Hampton or Jeanty, no.
Like, I'm not Travion Henderson, a guy like that.
No.
Yeah.
No. If it's one of those two, yes.
The reason one of the reasons why I would go defensive line is I think the earlier you draft guys, the better chance they have of hitting, clearly. And I don't want to have to go out and pay for defensive linemen. Like, if a defensive lineman doesn't work out in the first round, and then you got to go out in free agency, you're paying $20 million to get one of those guys, like a Jonathan Allen. If a running back doesn't work out, okay, you could pay one $5.6 million like they're paying Najee Harris, and bang, I've just added a 1,000-yard back. I just think it's easier to find those replacements if it doesn't work out. Now, they're not going to view it from a position of failure, but I live scared, so that's how I view things.
Real quick, sources from Diana Russini, Cincinnati's working to retain Trey Hendrickson. Discussions are ongoing between the two sides.
Got to tell you, didn't see that happening.
No.
I mean, we talk about the frugality of certain NFL franchises.
They're like number one.
They don't like to spend the cash. They don't like, because you have to put, 80% of the cash in escrow, and this is like really granular, but like, they'll spend to the cap, but they don't like to go beyond their means in the actual cash. they're going to have to do that with this guy. Like, you're going to have to find a way to fold that money in very creatively over the next couple of years. If they do that, though, everything I said about the T. Higgins signing, where I kind of killed him for it earlier, I'll take it back.
Yep.
If you can find a way to pay a quarterback, two wide receivers, and Trey Hendrickson, all right, that's doing right by your quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And that's doing right to the fans. I'll believe that when I see it, but that they're trying to do that, that's actually a huge step in the right direction for Cincinnati, which means bad things here for the Steelers.